How many of you are going to be sure you're here on the 16th to hear all that? All right. Going to be a great time. You'll want to be a part of it. For those of you who have been around most of the 27 years that I have been doing this now, 27 Christmases, in the very earliest days, we didn't even have an Advent celebration per se, but it was in the early years upstairs in the old sanctuary that we began the observance of Advent. First time in my ministerial history, in my third church, the first couple of churches I pastored, we didn't even do that. But as I became aware of some things and embraced some things, it's been a great joy to consider for these weeks leading into Christmas Day. The season of Advent, the anticipation of the coming of the Christ. And you tend to get into ruts and routines as you're trying to tell the same story 27 years in a row and find a little different way to do it. And there are certain things that are traditional, and so you don't necessarily want to change them. You just are. And then I'm reminded that most of you can't remember what I preached last week, so it doesn't really make any difference. But it does to me. And indeed, for the last several years, you are aware that I've kind of rotated between talking about the players in the Christmas story, the cast of people, prophets, shepherds, angels, Mary and Joseph, Jesus, as the weeks would fall. I also begin to discover as I continue to study about the Advent wreath and do some things there that there are particular words that go with each of those weeks of the Advent wreath, peace, joy, love, those kind of things. And so I'd kind of revolved around those two things and kind of rotated in and out of those and reshaped some things and represented some things and reworked some things. And I just said to God, I'd like to do something new. Would you just give me something new? And so I want to try to begin an Advent series that comes from a little different angle. We'll probably talk about all of the players, all of the weeks, and yet come from a different position. And so I want to talk to you this morning about listening for God's voice. Now, Christmas time now to me, somewhere in the course of Christmas time, there are songs that we like that we get tired of pretty quickly. I can only hear the hippopotamus song so many times in one year until it begins to grate on my nerves a little bit. But there are certain songs that I enjoy hearing every year, and I look forward. I actually anticipate getting to hear that same song every year in some version or by some artist. And one of those is the song, Do You Hear What I Hear? I love that song. And there's a verse in that song that I'll refer to a little bit later in the message. But what I want us to think about this morning as we think about the Advent season and as we prepare our hearts for communion even together is I want us to think about listening for God's voice. I've heard people say, I heard from God. I've heard other people say, I never hear from God. People that want to hear from God, that would like to hear from God, but they say they never do. Now, I'm going to try to kind of find the balance in between there because I believe everybody hears from God. It's just that sometimes we get to looking for such a special presentation that we miss the regular stuff. Because God has spoken to everyone. And the first thing I want us to consider this morning as we lead into this is I want us to hear from the prophet Isaiah. And normally this would be the prophet Sunday. And certainly the first place to begin as this message began to come out, it was through the prophets that it was first heard of, indeed, that there was going to be a Messiah, that there was going to be a presentation of a deliverer or God on earth. But here's just a half a verse, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, the first half of the verse. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. for the Lord has spoken. Hear and listen. How many of you know that there's a difference between hearing and listening? You can hear a lot of stuff, doesn't necessarily mean you're listening to it. You get to what, you know, for those of you who have maternal instincts, you hear children so that you know where they're at, but you don't necessarily listen to them. And oftentimes we get used to voices. And the truth of the matter is, this used to really irritate me when we would have an evangelist and we'd have revival meetings and he would preach something I just preached on and people would go to the altars, but they didn't go to the altars when I preached that same thing. But what I've learned through the years is that oftentimes it's just part of the flaw of humanity. We grow accustomed to things. And to be quite honest, sometimes it's one of those kind of things that says, I pray a lot of times, you know, and say, Lord, is 27 years too long? Is that too long to be someplace? Because people can get used to styles of presentation and styles of leadership and those kinds of things. And if something fresh and new is not happening, you know, if people are getting help and people are coming to Christ, then you kind of feel like things are happening. But when things get into a lull, sometimes you have to ask yourself, are they used to that? Are they used to that? And no matter what it is, you can get used to it and shut it out. Let me give you for instance. My grandmother, Ruby, lived in Fordland, Missouri, in a very small house, 1,200 square feet, I think, or less, 1,100 and something, I think, exactly. Matter of fact, Steve's dad bought the house and rebuilt it, and I think they sold it finally. But that little house, and Steve will relate to this because he knows what I'm talking about. But my grandmother's house sat in front of a railroad track. And there were trains that came through all the time. And if you would go to my grandmother's house and you weren't used to being there, we didn't have trains coming across our farm. And so if you would go to grandma's house and the train would come through, man, it would be like, wow, a train. And my grandma would go, what train? Now, in later years, at 98, I think she just couldn't hear, period. But in the earlier years, she had grown accustomed to those trains. They were loud. But she didn't notice the trains anymore. She heard them. I know she heard them. But she didn't listen to them. They didn't affect her. They didn't bother her. They didn't move her. They didn't alter what she was doing or how she was doing it. And what I'm saying is, in this Advent season, as we come to the communion table today, I want us to hear a little bit of history and think about a little bit of the present. And I want us to stop just hearing God, and I want us to listen for Him. Because sometimes we just hear the noise. We know it's there. We know something's happening. But we're not listening to what is being said. Now we know historically that God spoke in the past, and we don't want to miss what He might be saying to us. And so as we think about that this morning, we think about the voices of Christmas. And for sake of time, I don't know that we'll get to read every one of these scriptures. We'll try to get through some things here. But I just want to bring a point to your mind that indeed, as we think about the prophets of old, that there are those passages of scripture that we read, particularly in Isaiah, that we know took place. In other words, God spoke to Isaiah, and Isaiah spoke and recorded these things, according to history, some 700 years before they actually took place. So people didn't really always lock in before it happened. They read these scriptures. There was teaching that went on, but we're reminded that how God spoke. And through the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, we read the following. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The prophet Isaiah wrote that 700 years before it happened. And we know now, looking back, it happened exactly like that. And the sign of a prophet is if what they say comes true. And so we read on a couple of chapters later in Isaiah's writing, in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, these words, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. What happens if people don't, even in this day and time, don't listen to what was said in that verse? They're going to miss some of the character of God. They're going to miss some of the personality of God. They're going to miss a lot of the potential of God. If they don't read those verses, they'll not know that there's a great counselor, that there's a father image, that there's someone who loves them more than they can imagine. They'll miss out on that. They might hear someone reading Scripture, but they're not listening to what's being said, and they would miss all of those great things that God wants to be to us if indeed they don't listen. God spoke in the past through prophets. We know there's a passage in Micah. We know there are other passages that make reference to Bethlehem and future happenings. And so we're reminded that God spoke through the prophets. For those people who listened, they anticipated what took place in history, and they were ready for the occurrence. We know that God also spoke in the past through angels. And we know, you know, you're familiar with the story. I'm not going to take time to read all of these scriptures, I don't think. Mike's got them in there. Maybe I should read them just because he put them in there. And I'm not sure. But it said on multiple occasions in Matthew that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said. Matter of fact, let's read at least the first reference there, Mike, Matthew 1, 20 through 22. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And so now we get more detail. We're right upon the happening itself. Joseph is about ready to back out. An angel of the Lord appears to him and says, a messenger of God. God speaking. Angel relaying a message. Joseph, this is what God wants you to know. This is what God wants you to do. Listen to me, Joseph. What if Joseph had not listened? I just saw again, It's a Wonderful Life on TV last night. I don't know what it is about that. I enjoy watching it every time, you know. And matter of fact, I've seen it in bits and pieces. I don't know if I've ever seen the actual thing completely through from beginning to end. I've seen bits and pieces of it come in at different times. I saw the beginning last night. I'd never seen the beginning. But we need to realize, you know, here's somebody who had no idea of the impact of their life. And they wanted and wished for things because they didn't understand that. What happens if we miss part of what God's saying? How does it alter history? What if Joseph had not taken Mary? God would have probably accomplished his purpose some other way. It would have been another writing of history. But aren't we glad that these people listened to God? We go on to the book of Luke, and we find Zechariah there, and God sends an angel to speak to Zechariah and tells him that he's going to have a son. And he's not sure what he thinks about that, and so he loses his voice and has laryngitis for a while because he didn't believe. But we know he got his voice back, and we know that he got a son, and that son became not only the cousin, but the forerunner of Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord appeared to Mary In Luke chapter 1, let's read this one, Mike. Luke chapter 1, verses 28 through 37. It'll be the section after this. Thank you. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." And so we see, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." That's one we need to hear, isn't it? We need to listen to what's being said there. Nothing is impossible with God. These same angels, messengers of God, speaking on behalf of the Lord, appeared to the angels, and we know the story too well. We'll not read it again this morning for sake of time. But the angel appeared to those shepherds and said, you know, glory to God. You're about to be a part of a wonderful thing. And we refer back to that. I love this verse of this song. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea." With a voice as big as the sea. The scripture says, "and a heavenly host." A voice as big as the sea. Not one angel, many angels. A voice as big as the sea. Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." And then the message was spoken to Zechariah and Elizabeth, but was in God's, or in John's heart as he was born and as God continued to deal with him. And we find these words in John chapter 1, verse 6. "There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John." And then in verse 14 and 15, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And then on to verse 20. John testifies concerning Him. He cries out saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because He was before me.'" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." John had a message from the Lord. He became, in that time, a modern day prophet, proclaiming the word. He was a forerunner. He was a witness. All of these different voices, all with the same message, that God was coming down to this earth in the form of man through His Son Jesus. Multiple times God spoke the same message until it became reality. And here's what I want you to understand this morning as we prepare our hearts for communion. God still speaks to those who will listen. There are people out there who say, God doesn't talk to me. That's not true. Because God spoke first to everybody exactly the same way. He recorded His Word. Matter of fact, inside this Word in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 17, it says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." This is God's Word to mankind. Every one of you the same, equally. Does He personally convict some people in some various ways as they read it? Yes, He does. Does He indeed sometimes speak in almost audible voice to others along the way? It seems that He does. But I'm telling you, God speaks to everybody. Now, the reason sometimes that some others hear differently is because sometimes people put themselves in a position by spending more time with God. This word is here for everyone. The message is the same for everyone. What's printed here affects all of us exactly the same in terms of our relationship with God. And He has talked to us about seeking Him. Talks to us about having conversation with Him. Makes this reference in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I believe that God speaking to us is like a lot of other people speaking to us. And the sad thing is that there are things that happen in life that cause people not to listen correctly. There are things in life, there are messages that you perceive or pick up for whatever reasons that cause you to process what you see or hear through those filters created by those perceptions that you have. There's a lot of people who don't think they're significant enough for God to speak to, so they don't even think about listening because they don't think God would speak to somebody like them. It's a sad state of affairs what sin and corruption have done to people in our world, and how they don't believe that they're important enough for God to want to speak to. Or indeed, they process things through the filter that if somebody says something nice, they must want something from them. And so they don't want to hear because they don't want to have to deal with what might be. There are all kinds of things that happen in this life that keep us from seeking God. If we really understood who God is and how God is, we would not have any trouble wanting to spend time with Him, because we know He's the best thing that could ever happen to us. And it is in our selfishness is what it boils down to, our self-centeredness, that we begin to think about more about what we want than what God wants for us. And I want you to understand that God has been trying to speak to all of us, first through His printed word, but then to guide us in our spirit. His spirit communicates with our spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are His children. We have that truth, but we don't have to necessarily believe it. We can read it, toss it. It doesn't change the truth. It just changes how it affects us. We need to focus our attention. I want to refer to a couple of passages here that are biblical history that I think kind of epitomize what I'm trying to say here as we prepare for communion this morning. Mike, give me that passage from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." This is the third time now that he's gone to Eli and said this. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle." So, get this now. God spoke three times. How many did Samuel hear? Three times. How many was he actually listening to recognize the voice of God? Once. He didn't know who's talking to him. I'm convinced that in this lifetime, some people who say God's never spoken to me, that's not true. I think God's been trying to speak, and they couldn't discern that it was his voice for whatever reasons. I'm not laying any blame or causes or whatever. I'm just saying God called to Samuel. It was a third time before Samuel had any idea. And if you read that passage of Scripture and you get some of the stuff around it, there's a point where one of the verses says Samuel didn't know the Lord yet. It's in there. We can be raised in church and not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We can know all the religious ritual and not know God personally. We can go through all the routines and never have completely in faith and utter abandon sold ourselves out to God. So what I want to say is this, that we have to learn to focus our attention. There comes a point where we have to really listen and not just hear. We have to listen and we have to spend time with someone to discern. Here's another story that always just kind of interests me as we look at Elijah in 1 Kings 19. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Now tell me what physically just happened as I read that verse of Scripture. I got quieter, and you had to listen more attentively. We want lightning bolts. We want thunderclaps. Sometimes God's whispering. And the reason is because He wants us to lean forward and pay better attention. God still speaks to those who will listen. As we approach the communion table this morning, I want us to approach in this attitude. I'm going to ask Pastor Don to come and join me. We prepare to share the elements with you. But as you come, I want you to take communion this morning and make it a time where as you receive the elements, you say, "I will lean forward and listen more attentively. I will focus on you and your voice and not all the other noise that's in my life." That doesn't come easy. It doesn't just come automatically. But God will appreciate your effort and your intention. And so as we come again to this familiar table, let us come with the intention to say, "God, I want to hear from you. I want to know your direction." And just as God spoke in the past to prepare a world for the coming of the Christ child, the greatest gift of all time, at the beginning of this Advent season, let us prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually to receive what God might want to say to us in this Advent season. The Lord Himself ordained this holy sacrament. He commanded His disciples to partake of the bread and the wine, emblems of His broken body and shed blood. This is His table. The feast is for His disciples. Let all those who have with true repentance forsaken their sins and have believed in Christ unto salvation draw near and take these emblems and by faith partake of the life of Jesus Christ to your soul's comfort and joy. Let us remember that it is the memorial of the death and passion of our Lord and also a token of His coming again just like He came the first time, only in a different measure, on a white horse as a victor. And let us not forget that we are one at one table with the Lord. Now we're going to pray in just a moment. Prepare our hearts to receive. Because I want you to understand something. God is not looking to tell you why you shouldn't take communion this morning. Now the Bible says we ought to examine ourselves. I believe that. And if our heart is just in rebellion and we don't care about God, then no, I don't advise you to take communion. I'm going to tell you something. Life's a journey. And in the journey, there are struggles. And if your heart is to pursue God, even if you're struggling, if your heart is to pursue God, if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you are striving for a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you need to come and partake. But we're going to pray, because if your heart is really in that atmosphere and in that attitude, then when we pray, what you're going to say is this: Jesus, I just want a heart like yours. And whatever it is I'm struggling with, I want to surrender it to you. I want you to have it. You may not get victory this instant, but just surrender it. Just say, Lord, I want to be in right relationship to you. I want to be able to enjoy the Advent season more this year than any other year ever before. And I know you have things to say to me, and I want to be listening. Stand with me, if you will. In just a few moments, we'll ask these two groups to come down this aisle, return up the center aisle, and hold the elements until everyone's able to receive, and this group to come this way and come through. And then we'll receive together. I believe God wants to speak to everyone. I don't think God plays favorites. I don't think he ever has. I don't think he ever will. A lot of it has to do with the position we put ourselves in. Whether we want to hear, whether we're willing to hear, whether we believe we can hear. There's a lot of things on our part. If you hunger and thirst after God this morning, he wants to include you. God does not want to keep you out of his heaven. He wants to bring you in. So whatever your struggle is, we're going to pray, and I just want you to give that struggle to the Lord. Say, Lord, I love you, and I know you love me, and I want to be in relationship to you. Here's what I'm struggling with. Help me, Jesus. And come and partake of this supper. In your commitment of love for Jesus Christ, your commitment to listen to Jesus Christ, and to respond to whatever he might say to you. You're in pursuit. He promised you that if you'd seek him, you'd find him. Sometimes along the way, the devil tries to get us to fall out on detours and seek other things, but focus this morning. Just make a commitment to listen in this Christmas season to hear what he has to say. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We praise you and thank you for this opportunity to sit at your table together, to receive these elements and say, we believe that God so loved the world that he sent his son, that he was born in a manger, that he lived 33 years, that he died on the cross, and it was an unjust death, but he did it on purpose because he wanted us to make it into his heaven. He wanted us to have forgiveness of sins. And Lord, we thank you for that today. And Lord, we know that you'll be with us along the journey and every struggle that we have. We know that you will be there. And Lord, we want to do a better job of not just hearing noise, but listening for your voice and discerning your will and your direction. If there's anything today in our lives not like you, bring it to our attention. Let us lay it out on the table so that you can take care of it, because you want us to participate together in this meal. And we give you thanks, and we receive your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I invite you to come to receive the elements, return to your seat, and we'll give instruction to take together. Word became flesh, dwelt among us. That flesh was broken for you because He loves you more than you can imagine. Take and eat this in remembrance and be thankful. A baby in a manger. Only a few people had any idea what was going on. That babe grew to be a man who was indeed someone who had been around for all time, knew more about us than we knew about ourselves. Willingly. Nobody took Jesus' life from Him. Nobody took it. He gave His life. He let His blood flow because of His great love for His Father and for His brothers and sisters. Take and drink and be joyful. Brother Mark Faulkner, if you would pray a closing prayer for us, please.